الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders, the things of benefit and harm in every place is not the same. In some places, some things benefit. In another place, the same thing is a source of difficulty and discomfort. Somewhere, for example, where the weather is very, very hot. So there a person, in order to gain some comfort from the heat, if somebody presents something cold to drink, cold water, some cold something, milk, whatever it might be, that'd be a source of a lot of comfort for him. He'll feel very grateful for that, because this will be a very good thing for him. It'll cool him. But in a place where it is extremely cold, it is snowing, it is sub-zero temperatures, and that same cool water which somebody appreciated so much in the place where it was very hot, that same cool water is presented to the same person, but in a time and place where it is now snowing and it is sub-zero temperatures. He'll be upset about it. What are you presenting this to me? You want to make me sick? Already I'm feeling so cold, I'm trying to keep myself warm. Now you're presenting this cold water, what will be the outcome? So on the one occasion, the person was very grateful for it. But the same person, for the same thing, in another place and time, he became upset over it, because it was a source of discomfort for him. So the time, the place, what is the situation, all that changed it. Likewise, in the place where it was very, very cold, so the person was wearing very warm clothing, that was giving him comfort, it was keeping him warm, it was a source of good for him. But now he came to a place now where it's very hot, and somebody insists on him to wear the same clothing, that heavy, coarse clothing, thick clothing that he was wearing in the place of cold, it's now being imposed upon him to wear it where it is hot. He says, I'll boil in this. This is extremely difficult to do this. This will be a very great discomfort. So everything is not the same everywhere. Something that is beneficial somewhere, the same thing becomes a source of discomfort and harm somewhere else. So likewise, one is dunya. There are certain things in dunya which might be a source of some help, some benefit, some comfort. So the material things, to an extent, will help a person, perhaps in dunya. But it does not mean that if that was beneficial for him here, the same thing will be of benefit for him when he's no more here, he's gone to the akhirat. That which he left behind, that's not going to benefit him in the akhirat. While he was here, it benefited him. He took the benefit of it, provided it was earned in a halal way, it was used correctly, alhamdulillah. But in the akhirat, what's going to be of the benefit for him there, the currency of the akhirat is then a'mal. Here in dunya, the wealth, the material things, that was some benefit to him. But that's not going to be the benefit in the akhirat. The akhirat is going to be what a'mal he's done, or that wealth which was already invested in the akhirat, by spending it in the avenues that made it a means of reward for him in the hereafter. So now that will become a source of blessing for him, and that will benefit him. So the currency of akhirat is a'mal. the good deeds that a person performs, and in the deeds get accepted and he gets rewarded for it. Now those rewards are what's going to count in the akhirat. So merely doing the amal also is not sufficient, but doing the amal in a way that it gets accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. In the Quran Sharif, in Surah Al-Zilzal, at the end Allah Ta'ala brings this importance of amal to our attention. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, the one who does one zarra, Arabic word zarra, used in Urdu also. The zarra, one explanation of zarra is a very, very minute ant. Sometimes these ants are so small that you can't even see it. Some very minute ants you get. That's one meaning of zarra. Very difficult to even see it. It'll be crawling, you won't even notice it. Some say not even that. That zarra is in the ray of sunlight. Sometimes there's a window or something where there's a ray of sunlight coming in. And it's only in that ray of sunlight you see those fine particles that are now moving around, dust particles. Those dust particles are so fine that it's not normally visible. It's here now. You can't see it. It's so fine. But in that ray of light, now it becomes highlighted a little. Now you can see it. That's zarra. So Allah Ta'ala says, the one who does one zarra, one atom's worth of good, he will see it. He'll see the benefit of it. He'll see what good it's done for him. The akhirat, he'll definitely see it, provided it got accepted. And likewise, even in dunya, he will see it. He may not even realize what he saw. He'll see the benefit of it, but sometimes he won't be able to connect it. He won't be able to link it up. This benefit is due to this good action. It's not necessary he'll be able to link it up. But the barakat comes in various ways. And likewise, Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرَّ يَرَهُ. The one who does one zarra, one minute particle extent, one atom's worth of wrong, of evil, of vice, that little bit of shar, he will see that as well. In the akhirat he will see it, unless he made sincere tawbah, he begged Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, he fulfilled the conditions that are attached to tawbah, and he got it cleared out. Allah Ta'ala forgives him out of his grace, then he'll get cleared out, it'll be the delete. He pressed that delete button of tawbah in dunya beforehand. Then inshallah it'll be cleared. But otherwise he'll see it. And likewise, he sees it in dunya also, but he's not always able to connect it, where it came from. But it comes. Allah, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala protects somebody. So the good also, that too we are being told, look, don't even take that one zarra of good for granted. You don't know where and how it will come to your help. And don't treat that one zarra of evil also as minute, though it's so small. Don't regard it as minute. Regarding the second part, on one occasion Rasulullah ﷺ highlighted the same message with an example. Nabi Salaam says that don't regard iyaakum wa muhaqqarati dhunub, that those actions which are wrong but which are treated as very, very insignificant. People regard it as very minor. People regard it as small. And it might in itself also sometimes not be a major sin, but it's a sin nevertheless. So Rasulullah now is giving an example that don't take this lightly, don't take it for granted. Nabi Salaam says that, for example, he gives an example, a group of people were traveling. Now they stopped somewhere, and now they needed to cook their food, but there was no firewood around. So now there's a whole group of people. So everybody went in different directions, and each one managed, probably a place now like a desert or something now, not easy to find firewood anywhere. Each one finally came along with one twig, one small twig. Now one small twig, that alone, you can't even probably put the water to boil. Before that, even anything, anything significant will happen, that thing would be already burnt out and over. But now there were so many people, everybody came along with one twig each. So now that one twig each created one whole heap. And in that heap of twigs, they cooked their food. There was enough fire out of that. Enough fire out of that, it cooked their food. So when it cooked their food, now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving the message and the lesson. That look, each twig on its own was very small, insignificant. You tried to cook the food with one twig on its own, nothing. It won't happen. But this whole collection of all these small twigs, it created enough fire to cook the food. So the lesson that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving, that look, all these actions that you say, well, this is a small action too. This is a small one also. This is a minor sin too. This too is not something so major. This is now in passing, I just looked at something, it's nothing really. This was while I was listening to news, so just some music came in my ears. And this, well, there's an advert now, it came away, so I just looked at it. I didn't go and get into some site to go and look at something. It was all in passing, just in passing. So this was in passing, and that was in passing, and that was in passing. But all these things now, you put it together, it became a whole heap. It'll create enough fire to destroy the person. So this is that lesson that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving, that don't treat these things lightly. Because all these things will gather together, they'll become very destructive. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, he once in his time, he was still, many Sahaba had passed on and he was still living. There were many people had come newly into Islam. So a lot of other things now he was seeing which was not at the standard that things were in the time of the Sahaba-i-Kiram. So he one day addressed the people of his time and he said to them, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَعْمَلُونَ أَعْمَالًا هِيَ أَدَقُّ فِي أَعْيُنِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّعْرِ. That you are doing such actions, some actions you are doing are such, that you regard it as more insignificant than a hair. Now you see one hair lying somewhere, just brush it aside, blow it away, just flick it away. Where this hair came from? Nothing. You don't take any, give any importance to it, don't regard it as anything major. That's how it is in your eyes. Whereas, كُنَّا نَعُدُّهُ عَلَىٰ أَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ مِنَ الْمُوبِقَاتِ. In the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, actions of this nature would be regarded as things that will destroy a person. For you, it's just something by the way. But in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the same kind of action would be regarded as something that will destroy a person. So now many things get just become the norm. Things just start flowing, go with the flow, they say. The ways of Yahud and Nasara just get adopted. Their kind of dressing just becomes a norm. And some of these things are not part of the minor things. They are themselves major. Some ways, some manners, some way of speaking, some kind of languages, people just use it like it's part of daily language. What's the big deal about it? How people conduct themselves, what not happens. So all this becomes a problem. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in fact, in one hadith, she says, Kana Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam yaqul, used to keep saying it. He used to keep saying this, that Iyaki wa muhaqqarati dhunub, beware of those sins that are regarded as minor, beware of it. Because there is going to be accountability for this on the day of Qiyamah. There was a very great personality, Muhammad bin Munkadir rahmatullah alayhi. He was about on his deathbed and he started crying. So somebody asked him, but mashallah, Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq, you have lived your life in a good way. He says, no, I'm not crying over some sin that I committed. Meaning that has probably happened to my tawbah from it. I'm not crying over that. That to Allah Ta'ala forgive. I'm crying more over what I may have committed some sin, but regarded it as trivial. That's what I'm worried about. That is a very dangerous thing. Something that the person did and regarded it as serious, that feeling of regarding it as serious itself, in a way might become a means of forgiveness. That he had that severity of this wrong in his heart. He didn't regard it as a plaything. He didn't regard it as just by the way. That itself will become the means of tawbah, bringing the tawfiq of tawbah. But now the thing was regarded as minor, trivial, insignificant. Where is going to make tawbah from it? So brush it aside and carry on. So one is the accountability in the akhirat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam keep saying it. Beware of this. Because this is going to be accountable also. And then it has its impact in dunya as well. Ahadith, many ahadith highlight all the effects of sins. It becomes a barrier from rizq. It creates difficulty. So many things are mentioned. Just to understand this impact sometimes, from one incident in the lives of the pious also, sometimes there are certain things Allah Ta'ala makes happen as a lesson to others. Hazrat Ma'ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, such a great personality, such a prolific author, person who used to, the amount of work that he did and the amount of kitabs he wrote, it might take us more than a lifetime to read it. Now one day he sat down to write Tafsir, Bayan al-Quran, he was busy with at that time. And suddenly nothing's coming to mind, it's totally blank. Decided to do some other work, just can't get going, completely everything is just blank. And there's like a major blockage on the heart. Now he's bewildered, something has happened. So he immediately turned to Allah Ta'ala and he started making tawbah, istighfar. Ya Allah, there's something I have slipped up in. Ya Allah, you open it out to me so that I can make amends. You open out what my problem is so that I can make amends. Now those who are concerned about their akhirat, who are conscious about doing the right things, are very careful about staying away from the wrong, then they will immediately get into action. It won't be something that just be by the way. So now it must be something now. Maybe I'm too tired now. Something else. You know, they will immediately start reflecting. They will immediately start checking. Something has happened somewhere. Something has become a barrier. So now he is turning to Allah Ta'ala, begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala's help. Suddenly it just dawns upon him that his wife had told him that, look, I'm not going to be around tomorrow morning. She was gone to some relative's place or whatever the thing was. So in the morning, make sure these chicken, you open them out of their cage and put their food and water for them. Now this was not part of his daily routine, so he slipped up with it. He forgot about it. And as soon as he remembered this, he rushed quickly. Went and opened. Now it was already, the day was now 1-2 hours into after sunrise it was, and these chicken were obviously now becoming quite agitated, locked up in the cage all this while, and they were hungry, thirsty. So he immediately opened them out, put the food, water, and he came and sat down to start writing again, and all that ilm is again flowing, free flow. That barrier and that blockage is suddenly gone. That weight that was on the heart has cleared up. And that knowledge which had all just suddenly, the flow of it had stopped somewhere. Now that knowledge was just flowing again. Now this, Allah Ta'ala opened it out to him. He made ruju ila Allah. He turned to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala opened it out to him. But this was some little, this wasn't something deliberate. It wasn't deliberate. It was a mistake. But in this mistake, there was some taklif, there was some difficulty, some hardship that was being experienced by makhluk of Allah Ta'ala, not even insan. Not even insan, some birds. But nevertheless, it was his responsibility. So now he forgot about it. But as a result of this, because of his high caliber, the effect came same time. Now, if this is the impact, that even by mistake giving taklif to an animal, this kind of impact can happen, what about insan? What about giving taklif to Musalman? So in any case, this highlights that all these things have an impact. But this is now, nevertheless, the second part. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرَّ يَرَى. But what the intention was to discuss the first part today, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever does one atom's worth of good, he'll see it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlights this in one hadith sharif. Hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Don't ever regard any good deed as insignificant. Now this manner of expression, this is only possible to understand it in the light of the Arabic language, that this manner of expression is used when something is very greatly emphasized. Every language has its specific manner of expression. If something is being expressed very lightly, it has its own way of being said. Something is something to be emphasized very much, it has its own way of expression. In terms of balagha and the how something can be expressed eloquently, there are various, there's a whole science on its own. In the light of the details of that and the rules of that, this particular expression is for something very highly emphasized. When a person wants to emphasize something at a very high level, then it's expressed in this manner. La tahqiranna. That la tahqiranna, that noon in the end, that tashdeed, that is only one of the many aspects in this whole construction which highlight emphasis. Don't ever regard any minor, any good deed as minor, as insignificant. Now one is, this message is given already, this lesson has already been delivered, but Rasulullah ﷺ didn't leave it at that. Nabi ﷺ gave so many examples then. See, don't regard these things as insignificant. Now these are all day-to-day simple things, but we will understand just now that what an impact it has on the heart and mind if a person keeps taking care of these day-to-day things. So in this one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives one example, but then in several other ahadith with the same beginning, there's so many more examples. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam highlighting this. Don't ever regard any good deed as insignificant. One example in this hadith, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلْقٍ. Even if it is just the matter of meeting your fellow Muslim, you're meeting your brother smilingly. Now what effort it takes to do that? What is the cost of it? Nothing. Doesn't cost anything. Doesn't take any effort. But Rasulullah is highlighting it as an example of this. And in so many other ahadith of the same nature, this is highlighted. This particular point is highlighted. Now, outwardly, this is a very, very minor thing, very trivial thing, something in passing. But how important this is, we only understand it when we are on the opposite end of the lack of that smile. Now, you went for some work somewhere, so the person needed to attend to you, he needed to do what has to be done. So one is, he attended to you, he first greeted you smilingly. Assalamu alaikum, how are you? And then, what can I do for you? However he said it, smilingly. So even you have no idea who the person is, don't know his name, where he is from, there's no relationship of any sort, you've never met him before, But it creates a very, very pleasant situation, that there's a comfortable feeling, there's some pleasantness. But now the work that was required, the person did the work. Whatever the need was and the work was, that he did it. But how he did it? In a very grumpy manner, speaking with a very straight face, with his eyebrow, with his forehead creased, and no smile whatsoever. But the work he did was the same. But the feeling, the person finishes off there and leaves there. I don't know, this person had a fight with his wife this morning, or what happened? Maybe instead of sugar, she put salt in the tea. Allah knows best what happened. Seems like that sourness is still in his mouth. Now that work of his got done, but he's still leaving with a sour taste. Whereas he's got no relationship with this person whatsoever. He doesn't know him from anywhere. He's not his friend, he's not his relative. He has no work with him apart from what he came for. But he's leaving with a sour feeling. Now if that same thing happened 10 times in the day, every place he went, everybody's talking to him in that same manner, by the end of the day, he'll be down. But what changed it? Just somebody smiled. Now Rasulullah is highlighting this. Hazrat Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that whenever I wanted to meet Rasulullah ma hajabani mundu aslamdu, he came into Islam right towards, close to Rasulullah's demise. He says, anytime I want to come to him, he allowed me to come. And وَمَا رَآنِي إِلَّا تَبَسَّمَ, whenever he saw me, he smiled. Now this left such an impact on his heart. Years later, whenever he's talking about it, this is what he's talking about. Whatever he wants to say after that, but this is the introduction. Now this left that indelible mark on his heart. What mark? That smile. The Sahaba themselves say that we never saw anybody more smiling than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas what was the condition of his heart? His heart was forever in the concern of the Ummah. And his heart was always crying. But that he kept it inside so that the Sahaba would be comfortable outside and smile with them. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the reward of this. This too is sadaqah. This too is sadaqah. You'd enter the home smilingly. Sadaqah. So in one hadith, this is what is mentioned. Then in another hadith again, the same starting point. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi gives a list of examples. Even if you have to give something to tie. A person needs a small piece of string. Somebody got something. So he gave it. Don't regard it as just something by the way. No, this was a very big opportunity. You don't know how this might just come to your aid on the day of Qiyamah. وَلَوْ بِشِسْعِ نَعْلٍ, even if it is just one strap of a shoe, of a sandal. Now in those days, what we as we understand as chumples, so it has a strap now from the toe coming one to the right, one to the left. So now a person needed one strap. Now that was regarded as a very trivial, minor thing. Somebody one strap broke. So somebody gave him one strap. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't regard that as trivial. That too was a big opportunity. Now in that time, people would come to draw water from the well. Now somebody has drawn his water. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَلَوْ أَن تَنْزِعَ مِنْ دَلْوِكَ فِي إِنَاءِ الْمُسْتَسْقِي. Now you've drawn your water in your bucket. Now that required a little bit of time, a little bit of effort to put the bucket down into the well, then let it fill, and then pull it up. At that time, somebody now needed some water to drink. And he came along with this small container. Don't regard it as a small thing to give him some water into his container. Now, if you didn't do it, he would have easily pulled a bucket and taken the water himself. But that was an opportunity. An opportunity of doing good. Don't regard it as minor. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the same hadith also says again, even though it means you are meeting your brother, wa anta mumbasitun ilay, you are smiling. Don't regard it as minor. Even you meet your brother and you are making salam to him, don't regard it as minor. You meet some stranger who is feeling a little, maybe he's on the road, he's lost a little bit, he's in a place where he's not sure where to go, what to do, or he's feeling a little afraid. Now in those days, people used to travel on camelback and in the middle of the jungle, sometimes it's deserts. Now suddenly this person is feeling a little disturbed, uncomfortable. Even if it means you go and comfort him, give him some encouragement, don't worry, where you want to go, what you want to do, you give him some advice, you say some words, don't worry, you're not far off, something, or you gave him the directions, you put him at ease. That which you did to put somebody at ease, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Now these are all examples given in the Hadith Sharif. And then in another Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says further, اِتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ. That save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, even if it means with a piece of a date. In other words, don't regard that as trivial too. Because the whole thing is based on acceptance. It's not the quantity and the size and the price. In the court of Allah Ta'ala is what got accepted. And the acceptance is based on what extent of ikhlas there was in it, what heart a person did it with. And if it got accepted, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of anybody or anything. Allah accepts something, the work, person's work is done. Further, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, if you don't have even that, فَإِلَّمْ تَجِدْ فَبِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ, then say some good words, speak in a nice way, say something that will bring some happiness or bring some good. That too, don't regard it as trivial. That you could say something that became a source of some good. You don't know what good and benefit will come out of that. Very great muhaddis, Allama Zahabi rahimahullah. He's an authority of all the muhaddithin. The muhaddithin refer to his grading of a hadith sharif as something that's now the final word. If he declared some hadith as authentic, this is it. Such a great personality. He was not necessarily inclined to going to study ilm and so on, but he was learning some things. His ustad, or one of the teachers that were teaching him, he one day said to him that your writing looks like the writing of the muhaddithin. He just made one comment of encouragement, a comment of encouragement. That impacted on his heart, that if my writing looks like the writing of the muhaddithin, why don't I also follow their path? He had no intention of this before that. Prior to hearing the statement, he had no intention of that. But this one line of encouragement, which unfortunately becomes such a difficult thing, to just say some words of encouragement, the easiest thing we find is to just say some words of discouraging. Smallest thing that happens will run the person down, say things that will break the spirit, that will embarrass somebody, that will cause distress. That's very easy. But to say one line of encouragement, some words of praise sometimes for the sake of encouraging, some words of gratitude. Now this one line of encouragement took him where? But now who's going to share the reward? The person who gave that encouragement. In fact, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, what struck his heart to do this great momentous task of compiling Bukhari Sharif. After Quran Sharif, the most authentic kitab is Bukhari Sharif. So that was a time when still these compilations were not present, and he was in the lesson of his ustad Ishaq bin Rahway rahmatullah alayhi. He said, how I wish somebody would put a compilation together of just the most authentic ahadith. Meaning from all the very authentic ahadith, he compiles this. That struck his heart. He said, I should do this. And he set out on the work. And it took him a long journey, years and years of effort. But where it started off from, who planted the seed? One word of good, one line of good. Now, for me, kalimatin tayyibatin, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, don't even regard that as trivial. That might become your means of getting saved from Jahannam. In one hadith sharif, there's an incident of one woman, Umme Mihjan, radiallahu ta'ala anha. She was an Abyssinian woman. No mention is made about who, or she had any position of any sort, or there were many, she was from a prominent family, prominent background, or nothing. Very, very simple person, and she had no very great lineage to now talk about. She was not coming from some very prominent family background. She didn't have any wealth of any sort, any social standing. But what? There was one thing that she used to do, that when the Musallis are not in the masjid, in the early days, even the woman would be allowed to come to the masjid. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them the encouragement to perform their salah in the darkest corner of their homes. And one sahabiya came to ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for permission, that I want to perform my salah behind you. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I know what you want to perform, but your salah in the masjid, your salah in the courtyard of your house is better than your salah behind me in my masjid. And the salah in the inner side of your house, in the house itself inside, is better than the courtyard. And your salah in the innermost room of your house is better than the external room. And then gradually this was phased out. So nevertheless, at that time, when she used to come, so all she used to do was any dirt lying around somewhere, some piece of grass, something, these things now dust collect somewhere. All she would do is pick up all that and go and throw it outside somewhere. That's all. Now, who gives any second thought to it? Normally, it's somebody else's job. She didn't ask for any remuneration for this. This she did out of respect and honor for the house of Allah Ta'ala. And now she did this. It happened that she passed away. And when she passed away, it was night. Sahaba, who had come to know that she passed away, they came, but Rasulullah ﷺ had already gone to rest, so they didn't want to disturb him. So they didn't tell him. And now she was not somebody who would become like the talk of the town, that she passed away, simple person. And nobody gives a second thought to that this is a prominent person or something. So Sahaba then buried her at night. They did all the necessary, whatever was necessary. The janazah, etc., was all performed, and they had her buried at night. But then it happened that nobody mentioned anything to, because she wasn't somebody that would generally be spoken about. Anybody would even think twice. So some days passed. Then the Bislas noticed that there used to be this one person used to come, and sometimes she would be observed picking up this little, some piece of grass, something. She's not being noticed around. So Sahaba replied and said that she passed away, and it happened at night, so we didn't disturb you, and we did the necessary, we fulfilled all the rites, and we had her, buried her. Rasulullah ﷺ took exception to this. As a lesson, Halla adhantumuni, why didn't you inform me? Then he said, Dulluni ala qabriha, show me where's her qabr, take me to her qabr. Nabi ﷺ went to the qabr, and he made dua for her. And then he said, these qubur are often filled with darkness, with my barakat of my dua, Allah Ta'ala fills it with light and noor. Now subhanallah, the thing is that this dua, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came specifically to her qabr and came and made dua for her. The whole world put together one side, and the value of this dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 10 times this world can't pay for it. But what brought her this great benefit? This which was taken for granted. But Allah Ta'ala loved this. And Allah Ta'ala put it in the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now this is the benefit of sometimes things we take for granted. Now coming back to the point that all these aspects that the Shariat has highlighted so much and given us so much of emphasis, that don't take these things for granted. Be very conscious of doing as much as you can of all this. What happens in this? When a person becomes very alert to doing whatever small good that he can do also. When he's alert to the small things, he'll become alert to the bigger things. When he takes the small things for granted, then things that are above that will get taken for granted. And then when that gets taken for granted, something that's above that also will get taken for granted. Gradually he'll come to the sunnats, then to the wajib, then the farz, and Allah forbid what next. The other thing is, when a person starts looking for every good, he can do something, he'll do it. Sometimes he's not able to do something, but he's looking for the good all the time. His whole tabiat, his whole mindset, his whole heart, it all becomes ma'roof. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Nabi Islam says, don't regard any righteous action as insignificant. He becomes an epitome, a personification of ma'roof. Because all the time he's looking for ma'roof. All the time he's trying to find something good to do. And Nabi Islam says that even if you have one little seedling in your hand, and suddenly now you realize it's Qiyamah coming now. But you are planting that seedling for the benefit of somebody. Go ahead and plant it. Meaning it's clear now, another 2 minutes time is Qiyamah. Now that's an example. That don't, because you did the good, whether somebody benefited from it later or not, that was your intention. Somebody will benefit from it. So now because Qiyamah is coming 2 minutes time, don't deprive yourself of that good to do it. So we say now Qiyamah is coming, throw it aside. What are you going to do now? Who's going to, just now is going to get destroyed. Don't worry about that. You had the intention of doing good, do it. So now such a person, his mind, his heart becomes good. He thinks good. He's looking for good. His eyes are searching good in everything. He starts seeing the good in people around him. He starts seeing all the positives. He starts living the positives. And he becomes averse to the negatives. Now, many of those things which we take for granted, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ زَرَّةٍ شَرَّ يَرَى. You say this is small too, that is small too, that is small too. But all those small things then become very big. But now the person who's made himself alert to doing every small good and staying away from every small wrong, now he'll get saved from this. Because his mind is searching for the good, he'll become alert to stay away from the wrong, the small, small wrongs also. Which all then gather to become a mountain and crush the person under it. So this is a very great lesson that we are given in the surah and in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we should be always aspiring to do what is good. Every small thing that we can do, if we have the opportunity, don't let it go. And don't ever regard it as insignificant. Because that, one is we didn't manage to do it, we didn't manage to do it. But not because we regarded it as small. Because there's nothing small in the court of Allah Ta'ala. The smallest thing can be very big, provided it's done with the right intention. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, person spends one date in the path of Allah Ta'ala, but with ikhlas, with sincerity, with the right heart, Allah Ta'ala accepts it, and Allah Ta'ala nurtures it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, as some of you nurture your little, that kid, animal, and brings it up, Allah Ta'ala nurtures this. On the day of Qiyamah, he'll find the reward in mountains. Because it was done with the right intention. So nothing is small in the court of Allah Ta'ala. It is what gets accepted. That got accepted, was that got done. Person now has passed. There are so many incidents in this regard. Nevertheless, time has run out. Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq that we become very, very conscious to try and do the maximum good. And don't regard any good as insignificant. Likewise, don't regard any wrong as insignificant. The good also is very great. And the wrong also of any size, so to say, is also very serious. Allah Ta'ala save us from all the evils. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of every good. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Make zikr for a few minutes and dua, inshaAllah. Recite durush. Yeah.
ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathira ya rabbi salli wa sallim naiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim jazallahu anna nabiyyana muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 لا إله لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وسلم الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله الله 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 Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu tabaraka wa ta'ala alayhi wa sallam
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين. إله العالمين يا الله. Most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. إله العالمين يا الله. Forgive us يا الله. Forgive all our major and minor sins يا الله. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. إله العالمين. Make us among your obedient servants يا الله. إله العالمين. Grant us a tawfiq of every good يا الله. Save us from every sharr and evil يا الله. إله العالمين. Give us a tawfiq of doing all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that displeases you, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the love of his Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Enable us to live his Mubarak Sunnah, Ya Allah. Save us from the ways of the Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Allah, keep us steadfast on Iman and Islam, Ya Allah. Take us on Iman and Islam, Ya Allah. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah with Kamil Iman, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alamin. Save us from all the fitna and fasad, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you keep our iman intact, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect and safeguard the iman of every believer, Ya Allah. Protect the wealth, life, wealth and honor of every believer, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, blow the winds of hidayat, Ya Allah. Blow the winds of hidayat, Ya Allah. Blow the winds of hidayat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, all the schemes and plots that are being made against Islam and the Muslims, Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you turn those schemes and plots against the very people trying it out, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant them hidayat as well, Ya Allah. If hidayat is not decreed for them, Ya Allah, wipe them out from the face of this earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you remove all the pandemics and viruses, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all this has come down due to our own actions, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the pandemics of sins have brought down everything else, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, give one and all the tawfiq of sincere tawbah, Ya Allah. Enable us to make sincere tawbah from all our sins, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from all the vices and haram, Ya Allah. Save us from going to places of haram, Ya Allah. Save us from looking at haram, Ya Allah. Save us from listening and speaking about haram, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, fill our hearts with muhabbat, Ya Allah. Remove all the evils from our hearts, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with all the good qualities, Ya Allah. Remove all the sinful things from our hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those in any kind of difficulties and hardships, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Grant afiyat to one and all in their deen and dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, protect us from all trials and tests, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who asked us to make dua for them, all who have raised their hands to this dua, Ya Allah, you fulfill each one's jais needs, Ya Allah. Remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Fulfill each one's pious aspirations, Ya Allah. Grant the best of dunya and akhirah to each one, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, what we have asked for, give it to us, Ya Allah. What we have not asked for, you have been asking, Ya Allah, grant us that as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله.